a lot in that parasha, and I'm going to take my message from that last scripture that we've just read. So let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for the word that you've given, and we just pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things from your word and from your Torah. And Abba, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, Jehovah, because you are my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The message I'm giving today, I've named it Vengeance and Reconciliation. And because and it's taken from what we've just read out of Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. Because we read, for the one we know is the one who said, vengeance is my responsibility, I will repay, and then said, Yehovah will judge his people. And I'd really like to concentrate on this verse today, purely and simply because it's got three important sections to it. I know we've all felt like we want to do vengeance at some time in our life, and we've had to let it go and let Yah take control. So let's have a look at slide three, and we'll go through the three sections. That one. Vengeance is my responsibility. It's not ours. We've got to let go of it completely, because Yehovah says it's his responsibility. Therefore, we do nothing. I will repay. We don't have to repay. He's going to do it. His timing is perfect. It mightn't be our timing, but he will do it. That's a promise. And the third one is Yehovah will judge his people. We are not to be a judge. Yes, we've been hurt. That does give us the right to judge. Yes, we feel like we need vengeance or we need to pay back something for what someone's done. But Yah will take care of it all. Many of us have been in a situation where we've been hurt by another person so many times that we get to the stage of wishing we could get back. You know, we read today in the Torah section, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Foot for a foot, a bruise for a bruise even. But this is the vengeance that Yehovah is talking about. This is the vengeance that is his responsibility, not ours. So what is vengeance? Vengeance is a punishment in retaliation for an injury or an offence. Repayment for a wrong that's been suffered. The Levitical instructions prescribed in the book of Vayikra or Leviticus, don't take vengeance. So far we're only reading from Shemot. When we go to Leviticus, it says don't take Vayikra, it says don't take vengeance. In 19:18, don't take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people. Rather, love your neighbour as yourself. I am Yehovah. And of course, Yeshua repeated that commandment to love our neighbour as ourself. Only Yehovah is qualified to take vengeance, because his actions will be based on his holiness, on his righteousness, on his justice, which punishes sin and vindicates the oppressed and the poor in spirit, where we could come at it in a different tone. Our vengeance could be done in anger, or it could be done in cruelty. And it's not Yah's way, because he is love. In Bamidbar, Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 35, it says, vengeance and payback are mine, for the time when their foot slips, for the day of their calamity is coming, their doom is rushing upon them. He tells us in many parts of his scripture that we don't have to worry about it. Their day will come. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, it says, "Never seek revenge, my friends. Instead, leave that to Elohim's anger. For in the Tanakh it is written, Yehovah says, vengeance is my responsibility. I will repay." In the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, Yehovah appears as an Elohim of vengeance, exacting punishment upon the people Israel for infidelity to the covenant, and upon other nations for their treatment of the people Israel. I also love the fact that we are protected by Yah, because if we were to revenge those who go against us, it could cause us to sin. Yah doesn't want us to sin. So if we revenge somebody else for something they've done to us, that could cause us to sin. That's why it's better to leave it with him and let him do the take the vengeance. Yah makes it very clear, vengeance is his responsibility, not ours. Listen to what it says in Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 26:25. He says, "I will bring the sword against you, which will execute the vengeance of the covenant. You will be huddled inside your cities. I will send sickness among you, and you will be handed over to the power of the enemy." And it goes on in 32:35 of the same chapter of Bamidbar, Deuteronomy, which I mentioned earlier. "Vengeance and payback are mine, for the time when their foot slips, for the day of their calamity is coming, their doom is rushing upon them." It doesn't matter when they did it to you or how they did it, vengeance is coming. We may not see it in our own lifetime, but it will come. Yeshayahu, Isaiah 61 and verse 2 says, "To proclaim the year of the favour of Yehovah and the day of vengeance of our Elohim, and to comfort all who mourn." In early biblical society, private vengeance by the avenger of blood or the injured family was the rule in cases of injury and death. A tendency to mitigate this practice was evident in Bereshit, or Genesis chapter 4 and verse 15, in relation to the death of Cain, with his punishment of banishment after he killed his brother Havel, or Abel. In Bereshit, Genesis 4:15, it says, "Yehovah answered him, therefore whoever kills Cain will receive vengeance sevenfold, and Yehovah will put a sign on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him." So even though Cain had killed Havel, Yehovah still was prepared to protect him, even though he cast him out. Cast him out from his family, cast him away from everything he knew. It also appears in the institution of a sanctuary or of protection, as we read in Shemot today, in Exodus, or Shemot 21, verses 12 to 14, where it says, "Whoever attacks a person and causes his death must be put to death. And if it was not premeditated by an act, but an act of Elohim, then I will designate for you a place to which he can flee. But if someone willfully kills another after deliberate planning, you are to take him even from the altar and put him to death." This is the eye-to-eye, tooth-for-tooth thing. But if it was unintentional and an accident, then places of refuge were set up. According to this scripture, the sanctuary could not be a place of refuge for perpetrators of planned killings. Yehovah established cities of refuge, which provided some legal protection for one accused of murder. And this is found in Vayikra Leviticus 35, verses 9 to 28. I'm not going to read this passage, but you can look it up later. because it's amongst all the scriptures mentioned in the liturgy sheet. Too much to read here now. In Shemot, Exodus chapter 21, verses 23 to 25, which we read today, it says, "But if any harm follows, then you are to give life for life, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, foot for a foot, burn for a burn, wound for wound, and bruise for bruise." Scripture speaks of an eye for eye, and this limited the retribution to the extent of the original injury. It means you can't go beyond the original injury. Turning back to Vayikra Leviticus 19:18 that I mentioned earlier, we are implored to love our neighbour. Love your neighbour as yourself, rather than seek revenge. This scripture is said in this congregation every week, and we both sing it and say the Vow of Haftar, and it's within that. I'm sure Elohim is trying to remind us gently each week that we are to love one another. That's the purpose and intent of this community, is to show love to those we come in contact with, to those within the community, and even Minister Sean brought that last week to our congregation. One thing that has worked very successfully for me when someone has been continually giving me a hard time is to activate Proverbs 25:21. It's what I like about Proverbs. They give you actions for how to manage your life. And Proverbs 25:21, when I activate that into my life and the person involved, then I can claim the promise that follows in 22. So let's see what it says. In Proverbs or Mishlei 25:21 and 22, it says, "If someone who hates you is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. And if you will heap for them, you will heap fiery coals of shame on his head, and Yehovah will reward you." There's a reward for not taking vengeance. We don't have to worry about that person. While Yeshua is commenting upon an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth in Matityahu, which we read during our scripture reading, he eliminates vengeance as a legitimate motive of human behaviour. So we're going to look at Matityahu 5:38-42 again. It says, "You have heard that our fathers were told, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I tell you not to stand up against someone who does you wrong. On the contrary, if someone hits you on the right cheek, let him hit you on the left cheek too. If someone wants to sue you for your shirt, let him have your coat as well. And if a soldier forces you to carry his pack for 1 mile, carry it for two. And when someone asks you for something, give it to him. And when someone wants to borrow something from you, lend it to him." The Tanakh leads us to see Yehovah as a judge. But when Yeshua speaks, we get a different picture. If we picture a judge, what do we see? I know what I see, and that's someone wearing a wig and a gown and looking pretty austere. He presides over a court, makes judgments on right and wrong, guilty and not guilty, crime and punishment. And the concept that comes to my mind when we're picturing a judge, a judgment, law, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, unemotional and objective. But that was also the way I was being brought up as a child, exactly how I was brought up. And so this was how I thought, this was the only concept I had of a father. So when I came to know Yeshua at a very young age, I had a fear of Yehovah, because I was told, God is watching you. He watches your every move. And I had fear because of how my father raised me. But is this really what our loving Abba Father is about? In the Tanakh, I believe it was. But we have a renewed covenant that was brought about by the ultimate sacrifice of Yeshua on the stake. Because of that sacrifice, we as believers in Yeshua, as our Messiah, are reconciled to Yehovah as our loving Father. Yes, he sees all. Yes, he knows all, even our thoughts before we've thought them. Nothing is hidden from him, but we no longer need to be afraid. We no longer need to be frightened or have fear of judgment because of what Yeshua did on the stake for us. And he is now our advocate and redeemer as long as we repent of whatever it is that is to be judged. Reconciliation is a term indicating the changed relationship for the better between persons or groups who formerly were at enmity with one another. The Ketuvah HaShelekim, or Writings of the Apostles, encourages reconciliation among estranged parties. But the noun and its corresponding verb most often refer to the new relationship between Yehovah and humanity affected by Yeshua's redemptive work. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, it says, "While we were still helpless, at the right time, the Messiah died on behalf of ungodly people." Now, it is a rare event when someone gives up his life even for the sake of somebody righteous, although possibly for a truly good person, one might have the courage to die. But Elohim demonstrates his own love for us in that the Messiah died on our behalf while we were still sinners. And further down in verses 10 and 11, it says, "For we were reconciled with Elohim through his son's death when we were enemies. How much more will we be delivered by his life now that we are reconciled? But not only will we be delivered in the future, but we are boasting about Elohim right now because he has acted through our Adonai, Yeshua HaMashiach, through whom we have already received that reconciliation." Because of what Yeshua did for us on the stake, Yehovah the Judge is now Yehovah the Father. And how does the Father see his children? It does not matter what they have done. He just wants to see his kids make it. He expects weakness. He knows that not one of us is perfect. A father shows pity, mercy, understanding, sympathy, and grace. I have learned that from my experience with my heavenly Abba, and never through my Jewish earthly Abba. Our reconciliation with the Father because of Yeshua laying down his life has brought about a huge change. Judgment is done away with. Abba Yehovah has taken off his judge's wig and gown, and the Father can leave the judgment and allow the mercy to flow. Yehovah can be the Father filled with compassion and mercy that he is. For Shaul, the subject of reconciling activity is always Elohim through Yeshua HaMashiach's reconciling us to himself. Humanity stands in need of reconciliation with Yehovah. Shaul describes the human condition prior to reconciliation as weak, ungodly, and sinful. But it was precisely when we were enemies of Yehovah that he reconciled himself to us. Yehovah effected this reconciliation through the death of his son Yeshua upon the stake. The immediate effect of reconciliation is peace with Yehovah, so the believers can view themselves as a new creation. The scope of reconciliation, however, goes beyond Yehovah and the individual. The world is also affected by Yeshua's redemptive work. We read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 to 19. Therefore, if anyone is united with HaMashiach, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Look, what has come is fresh and new. And it is all from Elohim, through HaMashiach, has reconciled us to himself and has given us the work of that reconciliation, which is that Elohim in HaMashiach was reconciling mankind to himself, not counting their sins against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. In Colossians, this reconciliation takes on cosmic proportions. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, "And through his Son to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace through him, having his Son shed his blood by being executed on a stake." I would like to conclude today with this today. Because of reconciliation, we reign in this life. Yeshua has dealt with the law of sin and death. We can take anything and everything to our Heavenly Father, who is no longer sitting as a judge, but just wants the best for his kids. We no longer need to seek vengeance because, as we read, vengeance is my responsibility, says Yehovah. And Yehovah says, I will repay. So he will do the repaying. Now that we are reconciled through Yeshua, remember what he said at his death on the stake. He said, "It is finished." What is finished? What's the it? I believe the it he was talking about was not just his life, but judgment. Judgment for those who follow him, observe his Torah, living as he lived, because then our judgment is complete. It is not for us to judge or to repay or hurt those who have harmed us. As I said at the beginning of this message, Yehovah will judge his people. Every human being on this earth is Yehovah's people. They were all created from Adam, and therefore they are his people. He will judge each and every one of them. It may not happen in a way that we see it in our own lifetime, but we all have to die. And then we all have to pass judgment, whether we like it or not. The judgment of Yehovah at this time is when the vengeance will take place. Where will we spend our eternity? With the Father? Because that's where the judgment lies. Judgment lies in eternity. We don't have to worry about what people do to us. We don't have to worry about what people say about us. It's none of our business. It's between them and Yah. We shouldn't get upset if people say derogatory things about us. And they do. Because one, we're believers. And two, we're Torah observant. It makes it worse. Because they think we're way off track. But the point is, we're not. We are completely on track. And we know that when our judgment comes, we will be elevated in the kingdom of heaven. And their judgment comes is what Yah gives them. I'm not the judge. I can't say. But it doesn't matter who has done what to you in your life. You have to let it go. You have to let Yah be the judge, because vengeance is his responsibility. Are there any questions? Come on. Whoever, first, line up. Take your cue.
This is not a question, but there's two things the Lord has taught me about that scripture, vengeance is mine. And if you take vengeance, you will lead you to sin. That's one thing.
Yeah, it'll lead you to sin, yeah.
If God take your vengeance, it will save you from falling sin. It reminds me that story of Moses when he called Israel rebels. And because of that, because God said to him, speak to the rock.
Yeah.
And because he was so angry of the...
With the people.
Of the people, of the complaining. So instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. And because of it, because he was so angry, he hit the rock. Therefore, he lost the promise that God said to him, he will be crossed over the promised land.
That's exactly right.
He lost it.
He lost it. That's right. He lost it more ways than one.
Yep.
He lost it with his temper, and then he lost his entrance into the promised land.
Yeah, that's quite interesting, actually, because he was first told to speak to the rock.
Yes, he was told to speak to it.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
Oh, no, the first time he struck the rock.
Oh, the first time he struck the rock. Yeah. Second time he was told to speak to it, not strike it.
Yeah, yeah. But, he would have thought that, oh, maybe I should just struck the rock anyway, so, you know.
But he didn't obey.
Didn't think.
Trust and obey.
Yeah.
No other way.
My thought is that... I think forgiveness is a really powerful tool.
Absolutely.
Because it sets not only the person free that's offended you, but it sets yourself free.
Yes.
But going into what you've been, with the drash of what you've been saying, is that I think no one should want vengeance on anybody else. Because you know what? You don't know what God's doing in their life. And the thing is that I've had many people do things to me and horrible things and cost me lots of money and all that sort of stuff. But I forgive them and I don't wish anything bad to them. In fact, I want the Lord to forgive them so that they're not judged and they don't end up in hell, because I don't want anybody to go to hell under any circumstances at all. So, you know, I've seen people that have gone to court and their child has been murdered, and that the parent has actually said, when they give their statement, they actually forgive them for that, which is so much more powerful than you can ever think. So, you know, that man there, just that alone would say, how can that man forgive me? And then turn to God and say, you know, I repent for this. So, that's how we should be.
And that's loving your neighbour.
Exactly.
You know? Anyone that we come in contact with is our neighbour. Yes, we've got time.
Two things I like to, just to, for my own belief that when Lord said it is finished, I believe his work on earth was finished. You know, when it...
That's one thing was finished.
Okay, yeah.
But also the other as well. You know, it's not just his work on earth was complete. It was finished. He'd done all he could do to reconcile man to Yah.
Yeah.
And with that, with his death,
yeah,
we get reconciliation.
Yeah.
We couldn't have had that if he hadn't have given his life.
No, definitely not.
So that's why there's two things that's finished. He knew.
Yeah.
That he was born to die for man's sins.
Mm.
He knew
that
that was his job on earth.
Yeah.
I mean, he only lived 33 years.
True.
That's so not long.
No, of course not.
He only ministered for 3.5 years.
True, yeah.
But he knew he was going to die for man to reconcile them to Yehovah.
Yeah.
And this is why he taught the way he did.
Mm.
This is why he taught to love your neighbour as yourself.
Mm.
This is why he showed them the difference between the Tanakh and his teachings, the Beatitudes, the attitude that we have to be in.
Yeah, true.
And that was the difference.
Yeah.
Because the Tanakh was hard.
Mm.
And my father, being a Jewish man, raised me in that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't bring him into the kingdom until 86, where I came in 51. So, you know, it's different. I mean, not that I have anything against my father. Everything's, you know, I loved my father.
Yeah.
I mean, I respected him more than I loved him in the beginning.
Yeah.
But yes, we did, you know, have a really wonderful, loving relationship in them days.
Yeah.
In the end, and you know, after he retired, I would do a lot for them, and I would go to be with my parents, and my mother used to love playing mummy cub. So I would play rummy cub with my mother, and he'd sit beside us playing the violin. You know, so we had an awesome relationship, but not as children.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know that through him we have this love, we have this joy, have this understanding. And the second one is like that. Yes, there's, you know, people hurt you know, over the years or in your life, you know, your loved one, your families, or, you know, lots of people, friends. Is it okay to, I mean, I don't hate people. I don't carry the hate within me. But I just let them go out of my life.
We have to sometimes.
And then is it wrong to just let them go out of my...
You can pray for people and pray for people and pray for people, and Yah can say, that's enough, let go.
Yeah.
Let them go. Yeah. Malachi and I have been in a situation in that respect as well, where we've had someone that we've prayed for and prayed over and brought to so many things to try and bring them back into the kingdom, even though they've been extremely cruel to those in their lives. But Yah said, now let go. You can't do any more.
Yeah.
You've done all you can do. Let go. Because sometimes we have to let them go to the adversary, as Shaul says in Timothy, in the book of Timothy. You have to let the adversary take over, because there's nothing more you can do.
Yeah. There's another other group of people which I, in the past, we were having fellowship and all those things. For me, I don't seems like we have, we see things differently. It's like for them to fellowship is, I feel like it is all about entertaining themselves. So I don't fit in it. So I don't go around with them anymore. So, but they always remind me that how much help they did over the past. We should be there for each other. But my spirit, like, I cannot be part of them. So I put myself away from them. It's not that I hate them or I don't
dislike them. No, you just think that the spirits just don't line up.
Yes.
Yeah, so. You know, I have a niece like that, that our spirits are just so far away from each other that, like, her spirit rises when I walk in the room.
So
you know, and she's in a lesbian relationship, and I have never said one word to her about that relationship.
Yeah.
That's between her and her her partner. But if I walk in the room near her, her spirit rises something terrible. And it's just the spirits within us that are against each other.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure that you stay calm and yet speak to them cordially and what have you. But that doesn't mean you've got to socialise with them.
I can't bring myself to be with them for some reason.
Fine.
You know, so it's not that I hate them or dislike them. I just, so is that like forgiveness? I mean, they keep inviting me, and I even said that that's not me. It does not work with me. You know, like
you just say, look, I'm sorry. I just can't go that in that direction anymore.
Yeah,
you just got to be honest.
No,
you have to be honest.
It does not work with me.
It doesn't sit right with my spirit, so I would rather not be there. Thank you very much for the invitation. I greatly appreciate it.
But I feel like I don't hate them. It's not I don't have to forgive them. They haven't done wrong.
There's nothing to forgive.
Yeah.
It's nothing to forgive.
But I shouldn't feel bad.
No, there's nothing to forgive. You just let it go.
Yeah. I do that. Okay, thanks.
Right, we'll move to the remembrance service.